listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We are back again with another great session. And this is from the study, Living Life Connected to Christ. Our title today is A Life of Trust. And this is the third session in this study. Now, we know that life doesn't always move in the direction that we hope. Today can be different from yesterday. Yesterday may have been filled with so many wonderful blessings and opportunities, and today we wake up and the bottom has fallen out. We can say that exactly about the pandemic that we experienced over these past couple of years. So this is telling us, especially as believers, that we need to live our lives constantly trusting God. And our session will show us that this is no more evident than when Jesus' life took it wasn't really an unexpected turn, but it was unexpected for those who followed him. When we do, we can be sure that Jesus is for us, he is with us, and no matter what we face, he brings us to the Father. So we're still in chapter 13. But this time we're in verse 36, and then we'll move into chapter 14 and end with verse 6.
All right, so our point is we can trust Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's start reading at verse number 36 on this first point, trust God in the present, starting at verse number chapter 13, verse 36. Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So there it is. This is a very familiar passage to people who have been a part of the church and been reading and studying their Bibles for a while. And if this is not a familiar passage to you, that I hope it will become a very cherished passage for you as you move forward. A reminder that we have to trust God in the present. Let me just make this note that notice that this section of scripture goes from chapter 13 into chapter 14, because when the writers wrote the text, they didn't write, all right, here's the end of chapter 13. Here's the beginning of chapter 14. These chapter numbers and verse numbers were added years and years and years and years after the entire Bible had been written in order for people to be able to find things easier. And so there are some times when the thoughts will travel directly from one chapter into the next, and we get to see that here. So the point is that Jesus had already said he was going to be betrayed, and he told the disciples he was about to go somewhere, but they couldn't follow. And then this discussion ensues with Peter, where Peter says, hey, where are you going? And he says, wherever you're going, he says, I want to go with you. And Jesus reminds him, says, look, you will, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. He said, but listen to this. in spite of all of that, in spite of the fact that you don't understand everything I'm talking about, in spite of the fact that where I'm going, you cannot come, in spite of the fact that you're about to fail me, huh? And as the cock crows, he says this in the midst of all of this trouble, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so this is a great word for us in these times. I mean, in life, we're always meeting up with one kind of trouble or another. But right now, in the midst of this pandemic, we're all in the midst of this trouble. And so regardless of what's going on in your life and circumstance, let this be a blessing to you. Remember that we have to trust God in the present. Whatever the present is holding right now, trust that God still has it under control. Trust that God is going to work it out. Trust that this too shall pass. Whatever my current circumstance is, will not be my circumstance forever. And so so when life is out of our control and we don't know which way to turn and we don't have all the answers we think we need, we still have to trust God. And that's really when trust really becomes real and faith becomes real, when we don't know the answers. That's when you really know what real, true trust is. Because I don't know the answers. I don't know how this is going to work. Or I'm in the midst of failure, like Brother Peter here. And whatever it is, God says, this passage reminds us, trust God in the present. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yes, and this is something that Peter is going to learn through this experience. You know, I'm watching the TV series, The Chosen on Netflix, and the character that plays Peter is very enthusiastic and always zealous for Christ and trying to protect him in so many ways. And I see that in the scriptures here with Peter, he would have died for Jesus at that moment. But we know that later he failed, because right then his devotion was based on emotion. And he would soon see that emotion would not carry him, that would cause him to fail. And you know, and sometimes we're enthusiastic and we make promises out of emotion, but God knows the extent of our commitment. And Paul tells us very clearly, the Apostle Paul tells us to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That's in Romans 12:3. So instead of bragging about what we're going to do here and there, and we need to demonstrate our commitment to Christ, our trust and loyalty step by step, or only as he strengthens us. We hear that in church all the time, as God strengthens me, then we can do what God would have us to do. So Peter is a good example in not being there yet, but soon to get there. And he will eventually learn what it means to trust God.
All right, so trust God in the present. That's the first point. But the present won't be with us always, and so we must also trust God for the future. And so let's read verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And so now Jesus projects not only what's happening in the present, but he remarks about the future. In my Father's house. Well, where's his Father? His Father is in heaven, right? And so he has been talking about that, you know, all through the course of his life and ministry with his disciples, right? The Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father, where is he? Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so he's saying, letting them know that there's a future beyond this day and beyond this life. And so he says, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." And so he is just letting them know that God has a place where he will take care of all of us, right? And so, you know, when you're a hospitable person, and what do you do with the extra rooms? We have extra rooms so that we can not just so we can put them on, you know, some TV show where we get our house renovated or something. We have extra rooms so that we can be hospitable to people who are in need. And so he is letting them know that, and this was a part of the Jewish culture and custom as well, that if a stranger were to come in town, that it was their responsibility to be hospitable to strangers. And so today, you know, we have hotels and we got all this kind of stuff, and people have forgotten maybe this whole idea of hospitality like it was in those days. But in this time and culture, when you didn't have hotels all over the place, you didn't have restaurants that you could go to, if you went to another town, the only way sometimes you could survive in many of these places is because somebody would take you in and care for you. And so this is the context they're hearing this in. He's saying, look, you're going to a new, ultimately we're going to a new place. We are going, this, what we're experiencing in this life on earth will not be what we experience forever. But I want you to know this, that when you get to heaven, God offers hospitality to every single one of us. He has many rooms, and you will not be shut out. He has provision. He has provided for us in this life, not just in this life, in the life to come. Wow, this ought to be encouraging in this time that we're in this pandemic, when over 800,000 have gone to meet their maker, and some of us are left, you know, in the grief and the hurt and the wonder of what's going on beyond these shores. Here's a good picture he gives us. He says, look, I'm taking care of all of my children, right? When they leave this life and when they come to heaven, God takes care of every single one of them. He has many rooms. And he said, look, if it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. So you could trust me on this. And so we have not died. We have not gone to heaven, but we have to trust the one who knows the beginning from the end, the one who came down through 42 generations, the one who rose up from the dead, come on, and has all power in the palm of his hands. And he gave us this promise that God will take care of all of his followers, not only in this life, trust him for the present, but in the life yet to come, trust God for the future. And this idea of trusting God in the future when we get to heaven also gives us confidence when we go through the most difficult and trying circumstances on earth, because we know that God has something better, something greater for us beyond this life. What are you thinking, Christina?
Oh, well said, Mark. You know, these verses were often used by my grandfather, who was a pastor. And when he would finish a sermon, he would say these two verses. And they were, you know, something that I thought about, but they really didn't impact me right away because I had experienced the death of my oldest brother. And that was very real to me. As a little girl, death was scary. And I grew up being very, very afraid of dying. I had nightmares at night and just couldn't overcome that fear for a long, long time until God made these verses very real to me. And the way that he did that was to let me understand that heaven truly is another place that is not earth. And that Jesus, as you said, made the promise that we would be with him. If Jesus said it, then that made it very, very real to me that I can look forward to eternal life because my Savior, my Lord and Savior, has promised it to me. So if you're struggling with fears of death or dying, and even as your loved ones have been taken by our Lord, be sure and remember that they're not out in oblivion or anything like that, that they are with our Lord and our Savior, and that Jesus didn't have to wonder about that. He didn't have to wonder about life beyond earth. He knew it. He knew it, and he shared it with us because he wanted us to have the reassurance that eternal life was real and that he would be there waiting for us. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise. Thank you.
Wow, this is such a meaningful and powerful scripture. We could stay here for a long time. But ultimately, the third point simply says, trust Jesus as the way. Trust Jesus as the way. Let's read verses 4-6. You know the way to where I am going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so often I think when we think about this idea of trust Jesus as the way, we sometimes want to respond like Thomas. When Jesus tells us, you know the way, and we would like to say, we don't know the way. But the truth is, he all through this time, he has been reminding them and showing them and guiding them in the way. We simply have to trust it by faith. What have we seen in these last lessons? That we ought to live a life of service, that we ought to live a life of loyalty, that we ought to live a life of trust, and that we ought to love one another. So here it is. He says, you know the way. That's what we've been studying all this time. Jesus said, look, I am the way. The whole reason that Jesus was God, put on human flesh, right, is because he came to be our example. He is the way. He is the truth. We can trust him. And he is the life. We can depend on him. And he says, and there is no other way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so what a powerful statement this is, as he is reminding Thomas and the other disciples. And now down the corridor of time, he is reminding each one of us that we simply need to trust and follow Jesus as the way. He is the way. And so, you know, better than our GPS, better than a map, better than advice that you might get from somebody else who has never been there. He's already been there. He knows the truth, and he is the way. What are you thinking, Christina?
Just one little thought, Mark, and this is a warning to all of us because there's so many strong personalities out there who want to convince us that there are other ways to God. You know, we see that popping up on the internet, that there are other things that you can do to reach God. And even we hear it on churches, personalities tell us, you know, there's more than one way to God. You know, we can't be exclusive. But we need to remember exactly what Marcus just said, that there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. When we need direction, Jesus is the way. When we don't know the answer, Jesus is the truth. And when we are empty, Jesus is the life. He is the way, the truth is the life, and he is the only way to eternal life. Just remember that.
All right. This is great. So we certainly appreciate this. This is such a timely, meaningful, and powerful study. And I think that particularly people who have been around the church a long time, are really going to have some significant conversations around these verses, because these are like staples, pillars of our faith, and they have kept us right in our grieving moments, right? How many funerals have you been to when these verses have been read? They have been pillars for us in our most trying times. And so we appreciate that. So if you are a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christina's going to give us a 1 minute powerful teaching tip. But I just want to remind each of you that you can get your copy of the U Bible study at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban, a multi-ethnic Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. It has the teacher guide right inside the book. So you don't have to buy an extra teacher guide. It is great for the teacher, and it really is a great way of encouraging others to become teachers, because they know where the source of the material is that the teacher is using. It has daily devotionals in there. You don't have to buy an extra devotional, because your devotionals are right inside your U Bible study. And so what a great tool this is. And so it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so that everybody can be talking about the same truths at the dinner table. There's something for everybody. We're grateful for that. All right, Christina, come on and give us our powerful teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is to help teachers as they try to encourage the students to brainstorm ideas. I don't know if you've heard of a circle map, but this will help you to do that very well. This is a tool that you can just draw on the board. A circle map is a visual learning tool that contains an inner circle and then an outer circle. The inner circle can be used as a topic that you're wanting to teach, and then encourage the students, as I said, to brainstorm. And then the outer circle is where you provide those ideas about the topic. So just look online and be familiar with how a circle map looks, so that you can draw it quickly while you're teaching this session. It can be very, very powerful and useful when you're talking about a life of trust.
All right, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. This lesson is going to be so encouraging and so powerful for your class as you all go through this one, and it's going to be a great blessing. So, friend, join us again for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.